Good morning, church. Good morning, church. You know the scripture that says, many are called, few are chosen? Here in Regina, it reads, many are cold, few are frozen. So prove me wrong by responding, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Forgive me, but you see, I'm African. And back in Africa, when we preach, people respond. So when I say, praise the Lord, you say, hallelujah. Can we try that? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wonderful. Now I really feel at home. Now, the other thing I need to do, I was telling them on Friday that, again, because I'm from Africa, I need to set my time. Because in Africa, not everyone has a watch, but everyone has time. And then 10 years ago, I moved to North America, and everyone has a watch, but nobody has time. Which is better? Thank you very much for the invitation to be here this morning. I bring you greetings from my dear wife and my lovely children. I have 6 children so far, and we are praying for one more. Somebody's got to do this job, you know. Look at that, adorable. Who wouldn't want more? But I also bring you greetings, as Pastor John said, from the Ministry of International Students. We have about 100 staff from coast to coast reaching out to the foreign students in Canada. And in Regina, Leighton, Gus, and Mary are our city directors. So we actually have a table at the back. We can interact when you're done. Ted is here as well. Ted Fikes, yes, he's at the back. He's also one of what we call associate staff. And what we do is provide friendship and conversation and food and hospitality to international students, the opportunity to study the Bible. The thing is that these are the countries that are least reached with the gospel. Japan is 1% Christian. Did you know that? China, India, Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh. The driver who brought me here this morning, the Uber driver, is from Bangladesh. Why am I telling you this? The countries that are least rich with the gospel, guess what? Are the countries that send the most students to Canada. Is that an accident? Look at that. China and India, 55% of our students in Canada are from China and India. Again, Bangladesh, Iran, Saudi Arabia. Do you see what God is doing? These are the countries that are most difficult to reach with the gospel. And he sends them right to Regina. The University of Regina has 3,000 of these international students. I was there this week. I tell you, I've never seen so many young people in turbans. The Sikhs. Your campus is full of Sikhs. You know how hard it is to reach Sikhs in India? And they are right here in your city. So come join us. You can host students during Christmas and Easter and things like that. Just friendship with them. As you share your heart, you share your love with them, and they get to experience the gospel. So if you want to hear more, please see us at our table at the back. This morning, I did not come to talk about that. I came to talk about the connection between the deeper life and mission. This is Deeper Life Sunday. But I wanted to let you know that there's a significant connection between talking about the deeper life and the mission of God. By deeper life, we mean the consecrated life, the crucified life. To say that, Lord, I do not exist anymore. Now that you are in my life, it is you who are in charge. Make me what you want me to make me. Let me walk with you. Lord, let me talk with you. Lord, let me be more and more like you day by day, dear Lord. For these three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. That's what we're talking about, getting into Jesus. You young people, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you say that somebody's not quite into something. Or like, it's like, oh, this boy, he's not that into you. You know, it's like, ah. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, ah. You know, but that's what we're talking about. How much are you into Jesus? You know, because many of us, we are not that into Jesus. We're kind of like playing around on the seashore, you know, dipping our toe in the water. Jesus is calling us this weekend as we look at the deeper life to launch into the deep, to get deep in Him, to swim in Him, to become, to be consumed by Him. And I'm telling you that this deeper life, this absolute consecration by Jesus, what the founder of the Alliance Church, A.B. Simpson, he used to call it, and he used to say, not mine, but thine. In fact, he preferred the term the higher life. We are talking about the deeper life. A.B. Simpson liked to use the term the higher life. But whether you call it the deeper life or the higher life, it's getting that much into Jesus until you are so soaked in Him, until when people, when you go to the hospital and they draw blood, there's Jesus in the blood. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's why I chose this painting. I'll tell you a bit more about this painting. But this is a 15th century painting by the Russian monk Andrei Rublev. And he was trying to portray the Trinity, that our God is one, but He expresses Himself in three persons. And he did this based on Genesis 18, the three angels that visited Abraham. But one of the things, interesting things, we could preach a whole sermon about this. That's not what I'm going to do this morning. But one of the interesting things about Rublev's icon is that although Father, Son, and Spirit are in a perfect relationship with each other, there's perfect fellowship, there's perfect worship, there's perfect communion going on. In fact, it is so perfect, this relationship is so intimate. God, the Father is into the Son is into the Father, the Father and Son are into the Spirit. It's so intimate, so deep, so much that you don't see three as one. It is so deep, so intimate, so coordinated that theologians call it perichoresis. It's the divine dance. It takes an African to do this. All right? The divine dance. Can we try it? Let me have a couple of volunteers. Yeah, come. You come. This is the Spirit. Can I have the Father? Okay, this is the Father. Come. I need a Son. Thank you, Son. All right? I mean, this is a perfect relationship. You know, the Father is saying to the Son, you are my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Son is saying to the Father, you are my Father, I will glorify you. It's a beautiful relationship. Can we have the Spirit? I think you do well as a Spirit. Come. Yeah. Some of you get to heaven and be surprised that God may be female. All right, that's for another day. Can you hold His hand? No, hold the Son, the hand of the Father, of the Son. Hold each other's hands. Yes. Yes. That's right. And so the Father, Son, and Spirit are in this beautiful relationship. You know how to do it. Whoa! That's right. You know, that's how the Father and Spirit. Thank you so much. I may call you back for part two. All right. But so it's such a perfect relationship. You see, God does not need us. Some of us think that God, because God is love, He needs us to be. Because once there's love, there has to be an object of the love, right? It's not because God needed an object of love, that's why He made us. No, God is complete in Himself. Long before any human being came into the world, God was already love. God is the same time love, He's the same time lover, He's the same time the beloved. Wow! And yet, being who He is, you see Rublev's icon, he leaves a space here and invites you and invites me to come, let's dine together. Come, let's walk together. Come, let's do this life together. I hope you will leave this church this morning totally undone about the incredible love of this God who invites you and me to be in relationship with Him. That's what we mean by this deeper life. To take this invitation seriously and walk with Him until we are just like Him. Like that's what the Bible says about Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. And he walked with God. And all of a sudden, pow, he disappeared. Resonance. He began to literally resonate at the frequency of God. Boom, he was gone. That's what I want. But I want to show you tonight. Sorry, I usually talk at night. I want to show you this morning that focusing on the inner life, becoming like Jesus, having communion with God, crucifying the flesh and all of that, is not an excuse or an exemption of the mission life. In fact, there cannot be authentic biblical living unless the inner life leads to an outward expression. They are not mutually exclusive. The inner life in Christ and the outward expression of God's mission are two wings of the same bird. There are too many Christians flapping around with one wing. They're like, oh yes, I'm just focusing on Jesus. Oh yes, I love Jesus. And you're like, well, so what? How is that affecting the world? And there's so many people who are out there, yes, let's go to children's ministry, let's do Alpha, let's go to Congo, let's go to China, and yet they're not even in connection with this God. Do you know you can know about someone without actually knowing him or her? I know about Justin Trudeau. I read his stuff. I read Wikipedia. I know he was at age blah, blah, blah when he became prime minister, but I don't know him. There are many pastors, missionaries, who talk about Jesus, but they don't know him. I once walked into a room. There were two people who were talking about me. They didn't know me. They knew my name. They knew what I did. I'm telling you, they were actively talking about. So I sat there and listened to their conversation. And they talked and talked and talked. And I got up and walked away. They had no clue. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning God is challenging us. My aim is to demonstrate why and how the deeper life leads to a missional life. And a missional life results in a deeper life. It's a cycle like that. And I'm here to tell you, this morning I'm not here to say, hey, come and join ISMC. Hey, go to China. Hey, you know, go to University of Regina and do some mission. Hey, why don't you join Child Evangelical Fellowship? I have stopped doing that. You know why? Because we guilt trip people into mission. Because we pressure people into mission. I am here to tell you rather to engage the missionary God. Because when you have accepted this invitation, when you are in tune with him, when you are in love with him, you will be thrust forth in his mission. You're having fun this morning. They're like, I never saw a preacher jump on a pew. You see, our very Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination, by the way, I used to pastor an Alliance church in Montreal, a Chinese Alliance church. How's that? And people used to ask me all the time, are you Chinese? I'm like, of course, can't you see? And they're like, how did you end up in that church? I said, well, you know, my name is Yao. Y-A-W, you know, like Yao Ming, right? So he said, but how did you end up in that church? And I say, oh, well, they saw my name, Yao. They thought I was Chinese. And then I turned up and I was black, but it was too late. But really, I had the awesome privilege of pastoring this Chinese Alliance church for 4 years, right in the heart of downtown Montreal. So I used to say that only God can call an African to pastor an English-speaking Chinese church in a French city in North America. How's that? So I know a bit about the history of this church, of this denomination, this Alliance denomination. Now, the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination is evidence of what I'm talking about, that you cannot have the inner life without the missional life, the deeper life without being on mission. Because, you know, A.B. Simpson, who founded the Alliance, brought two evangelization societies together. Both of these groups he helped to found. Okay, so let's say you are the group called, one of them was called the Christian Alliance for Pursuing the Higher Christian Life or the Deeper Christian Life. So you are like the Jesus people, you are the holiness people, you are like, yeah, I'm into God, like, yeah. You know, the Christian Alliance, that's you guys. And then there was another group called the Missionary Alliance. So those were the guys, the Evangelical Missionary Alliance was for foreign missions. In 1897, Simpson picked the Christian Alliance and the Missionary Alliance and joined them together to form the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And I think that itself is a powerful portrait of how the two go together. In other words, you are the inner life and outer expression denomination in Canada. You are the guys who should show that, yes, being holy and being into Jesus doesn't mean you are stuck in a box. It actually results in your going out and making an impact in the world. If we were in Africa, somebody would say hallelujah. Oh, thank you very much. So in 1926, the challenge of mission message that A.B. Simpson gave, he expressed what the Alliance calls our trust today. The Alliance has its calling to lead the people of God further into all the heights and depths of the life of Christ and further out into all the aggressive work which the children of God have for so long neglected. That's why we exist as a church, to move further into God, into all the heights and the depths of Christ, and because of that, to move further out into the world to be salt and light. In fact, if you check the CMA website today, you'll find that they say that the CMA is committed to Jesus and his mission. The two go together. So this morning, I want to give you three reasons, and there are certainly more than that, but I want to give you three reasons why mission and the deeper life cannot be separated. Mission and the deeper life cannot be separated. The first reason is that the deeper life is how mission happens. The second reason is that the deeper life is what mission is, first of all. And then lastly, the deeper life is why we do mission. So let's go through it. Number one, the deeper life is actually how mission happens. And I'm going to show you this from the Old Testament before Jesus came on earth. I'll show you this from the New Testament through the Gospels while Jesus was here on earth. And then I'll show you after Jesus left in the New Testament as well, that the deeper life is actually how missions happens. So this is the Old Testament. Why don't we read it together? I really love congregational reading of the word. Let's go. In the year that King Uzziah died. Oh, I can't hear you. Can we read this together? Let's go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. We'll jump to verse 8 because of time. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, and I said, here am I, send me. And then he said, go and tell these people. Do you see what I'm talking about? In the context of worship, conviction happened. Isaiah said, woe to me, I'm ruined. In the context of worship, conviction happened. Confession happened. I'm a man of unclean lips. Cleansing happened. With tongues, the angel came and touched my mouth and said, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. In the context of worship, commissioning happens. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Father, Son, Spirit. This is how mission happens. In the midst of the deeper life, as Isaiah is worshiping, he is thrust forth in mission. Same thing in Acts 13. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger. He was a black man. You know why? That's why he was called Niger. Lucius of Cyrene, he was from Libya. Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, again, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands off and sent them off. Guys, do you see again, in the context of worship, in the context of getting deep into God, in the context of communing with him and walking with him and talking with him and dining with him, mission happens. Because this is the very nature of God. Jesus, on the evening, the resurrection evening, so this is Easter Sunday night. On that evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom, After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Shalom. And then he said these words, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Again, in the context of fellowship, gathering together, in the context of communion together, they have this commissioning by Jesus and even the empowerment by breathing on them the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the deeper life, for and it will not translate into a missional life. Ladies and gentlemen, this was our experience too. January 2008, my wife and I were reading the scriptures in Ghana. So I do not have the time to tell you my life story, but there's a book out there called Thinking Outside the Window. The beginning of it will tell you a bit more about my life story. But basically, I'm a medical doctor by training. Life was great in Ghana. I was working in the military hospital, had a nice wife, had a nice, you know what they say? No, let me go, now go there. Had a nice wife, nice car, you know, and wonderful condo. Life was great. I'm talking about the deeper life and mission. January 2008, my wife and I were reading the scriptures, having that time with God, that communion with God, when all of a sudden Genesis 12:1 literally jumped off the pages. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to a land I will show you. Huh? We had no such plans. In fact, we were sick and tired of people thinking unless they go to America or Canada or England or Australia, they cannot make it in life, you know, financially. So we had a goal to, we're going to stay in Ghana. We're going to make it big in Ghana. We're going to prove to people that you don't need to go abroad, blah, blah, blah. That was our position. In fact, my wife is actually Canadian. She's Ghanaian, but she was born in Hamilton. When her father was doing his PhD at McMaster, they went back to Ghana when she was 2 years old. Ghanaian with a Canadian passport never stepped again in this country. Was not interested. Until 2008, we were reading the scriptures when God spoke like this into our hearts. It was so clear. I remember telling my wife, I said, honey, by the end of this year, we will not be in Ghana. It was so clear. I did not know how. I did not know when exactly. I did not know why. But I just knew that the God of mission was about to thrust us out. By June, God kicked me out of Ghana to Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. Because I was a military doctor, Cote d'Ivoire was in civil war, and I was asked to join the United Nations peacekeeping force there. I didn't bring that picture here. You can see that in the book. So all of a sudden, I was in Cote d'Ivoire. June, July, bing! He kicks her out of Ghana to Montreal to do her master's in economics at McGill. You cannot walk with this God without being thrust in his mission, because you know, mission comes from the word mito. Mission, mito. It's the word, that's the root word. It's the same word from which we get, that's how we get transmit. Thank you, now you're preparing for me. Great. Transmit, mito, mit. Trans across, mit, to send. To transmit a message, to send across. Transmit. It's the same word from which we get missile. A missile is a weapon you send. Missile. Okay, same word, dismiss. In a few minutes, we'll be dismissed. Miss, to send away. You know, that's what mission means. And if you look at all the three scriptures we looked at, you see that word, send. In Jeremiah, in Isaiah, God said, who shall I send? In Acts, as they were worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have sent them. I have called them, send them. And then Jesus himself came and said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. Listen, mission is the nature of God. This God, can I have the son again? Quick. Yes. Thank you, oh, our Father, for giving us your son. And come, Spirit. Come on, Spirit. What's going on, Spirit? All right. So, yeah, you know. Do you have something against him?
No.
Okay, good. So, Father, Son, and Spirit, all right, in the midst of the worship and the fellowship and the communion that is going on, the perichoresis, in the midst of all of this, this wonderful inner life that Jesus is asking you to be part of. Come, abide in me, I in you, you in me, we in the Father. Right in the midst of this communion, then God says, let us. Good job, good job. Oh, I'll be traveling around with you. Yeah. All right. Sending is the nature of God. That's why we call him the missionary God. He's a sending God. And the amazing thing about this God is that not only does he send you and send me, he sent himself. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a God. That is the God we serve. So you cannot be in communion with this God and not be sent. That is the nature of our God. We're talking about three reasons. I'm not going to talk as lengthy about the other two because this for me really is the main point. Because let me tell you, for too long, for about 2,000 years now, we have sent missionaries all over the world. We have sent people. People have gone out as missionaries when they weren't even missionaries. They were just CIA agents. Listen, you've got to be sent because you have been in relationship with this triune God. And he sent you, not the government of the United States, not the government of Canada, but the God of the universe. Guys, I am tired of getting people involved in mission. They start 2 weeks, they are gone. Because they have not really met the missionary God. I have stopped asking people to engage in mission. Pastor John, I ask people to engage God. Engage the missionary God. And he will thrust you forth into his mission. You see, we are not the ones on mission. It is God who is on mission. Chris Wright, one of my friends, one of my favorite people, I work in the Lausanne movement with him. He says, fundamentally, our mission means our committed participation as God's people at God's invitation and command in God's own mission within the history of God's world for the redemption of God's creation. It is God who is on mission, and he invites us to be part of his mission. Oh, Lord, may the inner life transformation happening this weekend, may the really getting into Father, Son, and Spirit result in our invitation and result in our participation of your mission. Let me give you this reason why it's so important, because the ministry we are in is not our ministry. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son, to the Father through the Holy Spirit for the sake of the church and the world. Too many of us are walking around, let's help the church, let's help the church. Oh, let's save the world, let's save the world for the sake of the Father. Oh, for the sake of Jesus. No, we've got it wrong. Our direction to be towards the Father and towards Jesus and His Spirit, and they determine for us where in the church and how in the world we are to serve. Not the other way around. We are doing whatever we like in the church and the world, and we are slapping on a little Jesus. No. This is a challenge to me myself. Because guess what? This is a young lady my wife and I had an interaction with last year in Ghana. Now there's a village, there's an area called Dambai. Since the creation of the world, they've never had a doctor. And this young lady wanted to serve there. But we had to encourage her with these words from Stephen Simmons, that when we are resonating with the eternal love frequencies of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's also an enormous release of energy, and we are thrust forth in mission. Whenever mission flows out of something else, our ego needs, our attempts to earn God's approval or the approval of others, or even our response to the desperate plight of humanity, mission has lost its ultimate ground and cannot be sustained. Ladies and gentlemen, may we, as we connect our inner lives with God and begin to resonate at his love frequencies, may it be then that he thrusts. This is how mission happens from the inner life. Let me end with these two. The inner life is what mission is first. What do I mean by that? God's mission, Chris Wright again says, involves God's people living God's way in the sight of the nations. Pesket and Ramachandra say mission is not primarily about going, nor is mission primarily about doing anything. No, church, mission is about being. It's about being a distinctive kind of people, a distinctive kind of cultural people among the nations. So if you are not in union with Jesus, abiding in him so that you are bearing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you have no mission. In fact, some of us go into the world and we make the world worse because we are so messed up ourselves. What mission do you have? The mission you have is first who you are. God made us a light to the nations. My friend here is from China. My friend here is from Congo. China. You know the best mission to them is not, hey, Jesus loves you. It's by showing it in your life. Our lives are not showing it. What mission do we have? We are to be before we do. And that is why the inner life itself is missional. That is why before Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you, in John 20. Before that, he talked to them about their love. He says, by your love, men will believe the gospel. By your unity, they will believe the gospel. Because when they see the love, they see the unity, they see the fruit, they see God. But you see, none of us can live this way without Jesus in us, without his spirit making it happen in us. And that is why you should take advantage of this inner lifetime and say, Jesus crucified. Listen, every day we must have a funeral service and crucify the sinful nature and ask God to take over this nature, because it is only he who can live his life through us so that we are a light to the nations. I went to a school, a Christian school in Ghana, which has a motto, not only with our lips, but in our lives. That is our mission, who we are. And so, I love Stephen Olford. Stephen Olford died a few years ago. He used to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist in New York City. Stephen Olford said, the greatest moment in my life was when I discovered God expects nothing more or less of Stephen Olford than abject failure. And even more importantly, only one person can live the Christian life. You think that we'll all think that, oh, Christian life, oh yeah, only one person can live that, the guy who's called Christ. But no, it doesn't occur to us. We try to do it in our own strength. Only one person can live the Christian life, and that is Christ himself. And only as I trust in him to live his life in me can I possibly live the quality of life that satisfies the heart of God and challenges the world in which I witness. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why A.B. Simpson will call it the higher life. Some others call it the abiding life. Some call it the exchanged life. Call it the crucified life. Call it what you may, but we must live this. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what mission is. Our lives as a light to the Gentiles, to the nations. Finally, the deeper life is why mission exists. Many of you know Piper's statement, mission exists because worship doesn't. God wants glory from all people. God wants glory from the obedience of all peoples, from the worship of all peoples, from the thanksgiving of all peoples. And that is not happening. There are 16,000, almost 17,000 ethnic groups in the world. As we speak right now, about 6,000 of them still don't have a viable church. And we sit here and we play with our fingers and we navel gaze and we quarrel and whatnot. Guys, there are people that need to hear this gospel and to respond. Practically, how can we live this message? I want to suggest to you a simple exercise of silence and solitude. You know, A.W. Tozer, who was also a Christian Missionary Alliance pastor, used to say that just one moment of silence speechless silence in the presence of God can do much more than years of mere study can do. We are too hurried. We are too noisy. We all need moments when we stop and are silent before God and invite Him to invade our inner lives and to transform us to be His missional agents. I have learned to do this. Just 2 minutes of silence before I read the Bible. 2 minutes of silence after I read it. And I'm trying to do it not just in the morning, but in the afternoon as well, and in the evening as well. And I've seen that God is transforming me in ways that I could not do by myself. I want to invite you into a life that practices silence and solitude. And as you tune in to the heavenly frequencies of Father, Son, and Spirit, He will thrust you forth in His mission. It may be across the street, or it may be across the sea, but you know that you are on mission with the Father and the Son and Spirit. Let's just take a minute of silence and tune in to this missionary God. If you're here and you've never really surrendered your life to this God of love, this is your opportunity. Some of us have in the past, but we are living our own way. Today there's an invitation, come to the table. Leave yourself on the altar and pick up the new life that Jesus has for you. And you will be amazed as you engage Him, as you abide in Him, as you love and obey Him and serve Him, worship Him, what He will do in your life, at your school, in the workplace, in your neighborhood. He would use you in ways you cannot explain. You would just find yourself doing certain things because your inner life has touched, connected with the triune God. And He is thrusting you forth in His mission in all sorts of ways. So here we are, Lord. Forgive us for where we failed to be your people. Where we have not even connected with you by a prayer or even the reading of your word. Lord, help us, O Lord, to make your kingdom and your righteousness, this deeper life, our primary concern, not our bank accounts, not our career progression, not our wonderful relationships out there, but make you our primary concern, and all these other things will fall in line as well. Let us resonate this morning. Once again, let us resonate at the eternal love frequencies of Father, Son, and Spirit. Some of us are so far from you. I hear the Lord say, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Lord, please, we want to draw near again until we begin to resonate again, until we begin to move again, vibrate again at your frequencies, oh God. And when that happens, you will do with us what you want that will surprise even us. Thank you for calling us to this authentic life, of a truly biblical life, where the inner life results in a missional life to the glory of the Father and the Son and the Spirit among all nations. And God's people said, Amen.